I'm Larry O'Connor alongside Brian Wilson.
And joining us on the line, as he does on Monday mornings, Joe DeGeneva, legal analyst. Good morning to you, Joe.
Good morning.
Let me just say that since you were with us last, we've had some testimony up on Capitol Hill regarding the email server.
Yep.
Brian Pogliano was ordered to appear. He did not appear. Two people who did appear pleaded the fifth and said that they didn't want to answer any questions because they might incriminate themselves. There was one guy who testified, and to me, the amazing thing that we learned out of that testimony was that he didn't have any security clearances to,
right.
And yet he had full access to that email server, as did, he says, 20 other people.
Right.
Now, it seems to me that's criminally neglectful. How in the world did this FBI not bother to ask these kinds of questions?
Well, I can tell you, this further complicates Mr. Comey's status as FBI director, both within and without the organization. His clownish performance at his July news conference, where he made believe that they had conducted an investigation. If you read their report, the testimony up on Capitol Hill last week just shows what a classic Potemkin Village report it was. It was a fake investigation. As I said to you guys last week and before, the FBI director took a dive. The amount of information available to show not only criminal intent, but massive criminal intent on the part of Mrs. Clinton and her bodyguards, the minions around her, Cheryl Mills and others, is devastating. And he is so defensive about it that he sent that stupid memo to all of his staff. There's plenty of criminal information, and I am hopeful that the next president, and I'm hoping it's Mr. Trump, will reopen the investigation, not necessarily of Mrs. Clinton, because that would be viewed as a kind of third world vendetta against her, but against everybody else who wasn't granted immunity. This is really staggering when you watch Comey. Comey has become a joke among former FBI agents. It's really pathetic, and I can't wait for his testimony to see whether or not some Republicans are smart enough to organize themselves into a real line and get to him and make the fool of him that he is.
But it is important to note that the only thing that Comey and his team investigated was the question of classified information, which I think pretty early on, I mean, we focused on that, we talked about it, but the criminal behavior of Hillary Clinton in circumventing federal law to have this email server goes well beyond just classified information. And also the aftermath, the lying to FBI and also destruction of emails and destruction of evidence.
The destruction of evidence by lawyers, he ignored it. They allowed it. I mean, breaking every investigative rule in the book, and he has the audacity to stand up and now complain about the criticism of him.
Yeah.
The FBI director is responsible for one of the greatest violations of due process for the American people in history, and he laughs about it in this silly memo that he sent to his employees.
All right, changing topics if we could. There were another bunch of emails that were being discussed last week. They had to do with Colin Powell, former Secretary of State, and his apparently some conversations he was having with people in which he said, you know, and he actually warned some of the people in the Clinton, and I'm sorry, in the Hillary Clinton State Department not to make him the fall guy over this email scandal.
Yeah. Well, here's the problem with Colin Powell. Colin Powell is a nasty, behind-the-scenes, dirty fighter. He's not a nice guy. He never has been. It's all about him. It's always been about him. When you look at these emails, you see what a little... He's almost a tart. He's a gossip tart.
Yeah.
And he just loves to say cute little things. But remember one important thing about Colin Powell. He sat in a meeting with George W. Bush in the middle of the Valerie Plame leak affair, and the president to his cabinet said, if there's anybody here that has information about who leaked this, I want to know it. Colin Powell knew at that moment that Richard Armitage, his deputy secretary of state, had leaked Valerie Plame's identity and blew her cover to the Washington Post. What did Colin Powell do? He sat silent, he never told the president, and he allowed Scooter Libby to be falsely accused for leaking Valerie Plame's name. That'll tell you something about Colin Powell. You want him in a foxhole with you? Good luck.
I want to ask you about the legal aspects of this hack into Colin Powell's emails, though. It's an interesting thing. I mean, this is a huge story last week. Everybody's reporting it. These are leaked emails. These are his personal emails that got hacked into and then leaked through these websites. I mean, what is the media responsibility on this? This is an invasion of his privacy.
Well, there's no media responsibility anymore. I mean, we've long since passed that part. Once it's available, you publish. The media has decided after New York Times versus Sullivan, they have no duty and no responsibility. Their duty is to publish no matter what it is. Oh, they, of course, they won't publish certain things about certain people that they want to protect, like Hillary Clinton or Colin Powell, for that matter. I mean, the bottom line is this is embarrassing to him, but it doesn't say anything more than people didn't already know about Colin Powell, which is he's a behind-the-scenes kind of sleazy operator who does what he can quietly and then pretends otherwise in public. It's clearly that this is all criminal activity. The stealing and the access to these emails is a crime, but in all likelihood it was committed by foreigners that we'll never see and never know of. And as long as that information gets out into the, once it's on the web and once it's verifiable, that's the end of the ballgame.
You know, you've, as a former U.S. attorney, have prosecuted terrorism cases.
Yes.
And we've got these cases in New Jersey, New York, and then also in Minnesota, which was a different kind of attack, a stabbing attack. Any thoughts from how a prosecutor would look at this?
Well, they probably got fingerprints off the pressure cooker bomb in New York, and that's part of the process of the arrest going on in New Jersey this morning. There were five people arrested, apparently, in New Jersey. Remember, Al-Awlaki was from New Jersey. He had a mosque over there, and that's where he started his craziness. New Jersey is a hotbed, just like parts of Dearborn, Michigan, and parts of Minnesota, mm-hmm. where in Minnesota we had another attack with the knife. Remember, Minnesota is the home of many, many Somali refugees. They're great people. They're very industrious. But among them are some very bad folks. And that's why the vetting of refugees is so important and why it has to be taken very seriously by our government.
All right, Joe DiGenova, we're going to leave it right there.
Okay, guys.
Always a pleasure.